But I'm going to take you in a totally different direction from FAB, but something that I think still has some very real relevance for our local health departments and our states, as well as nationally. So this phase of Rural Healthy People has been funded by our institutions. We have nothing to disclose on relationships of receiving finances from anybody. If you have money, I will pass the hat, let me know. Very, very quick, what we're going to cover is a little history, very little history. I'm not going to talk about the results of the priority setting survey. Those of you who were here last year would have heard that. Anyone interested can just drop me a line. We're going to talk a lot about the Delphi survey, of what it is, why it is useful, give you an example of what we did, how we used it, and what we learned, and then a state and local example that I think might have more real relevance for affiliates and even smaller local, and then we'll just wrap it up quickly. So Rural Healthy People is a companion to the Healthy People efforts. It came out in the 1990s where rural stakeholders spoke to the director of the Office of Rural Health Policy in HRSA saying, we do not see healthography, we do not see place represented in these objectives, in these topics. We need to have something different. So Rural Healthy People was born. It was focused on identifying, of all of these areas, what are priorities for rural, what do we know about those topics within rural communities and rural populations, and what are some of the best practices that communities are using to address those, and then provide rural health leaders and policymakers with rural-specific data. So that's been the goal both for 2010 and 2020. That's what the volumes looked like in 2010, and this will be coming to you within the next month or two. So I will put in a special request for the ARGC specifically to get hard copies, but people can go online to get this information as well. The volumes cover literature reviews of each of the top 20 topic areas and some best practices that are employed by other areas. So, the Delphi, what is it? This is a methodology that was developed by the group that came to be the RAND Corporation back in the 1950s, developed to obtain expert consensus on areas of interest, starting with forecasting the impact of technology on warfare. Doesn't sound like anything that would be of a public health use, does it? But it was also used to prioritize research agendas, and in our case, to think about how do we prioritize among the various problems that we identify in our communities. Usually, these have been pen and pencil, face-to-face, face-to-face efforts, and more recently, they've been computer-mediated. So it has a recurring progression of questions through a series of questionnaires. So you start out here, and you're looking to try and bring people closer in how they're seeing things. It's a way of structuring the group communication between experts, eliminating the potential for conflict because your responses are anonymous. No one knows who's saying what. And then it provides the individual an opportunity to change their views in response to group trends. And you'll see how that actually plays out later on. It's known to be effective when you're looking to achieve consensus where one hasn't existed in the past, where participants have diverse backgrounds, different levels of expertise and experience, that where there are more participants that can possibly interact in a face-to-face meeting, and when frequent meetings are not feasible. So this is the definition of community health improvement that I really liked, and I lifted it from someone, and I've quoted it, and there's the number of the citation, but I cut it out of whatever I was working from and neglected to copy the cite. So again, get back to me, and I will find it for you. It was like one of these last minute, oh my God. So a community health improvement process looks outside the performance of an individual organization serving a specific segment of a community to the way in which activities of the many organizations contribute to health improvement. So beyond the individual, whether that individual is the local health department focusing on its segment, or from my past experience, the role of the hospital focusing on its segment. Ideally, in order to affect a change in health, we all need to come together. how well would we be doing with flu vaccinations if CVS and Walgreens and Walmarts and those other folks were not part of the pie helping to give people shots. So this is really based for me on our local and state realities that, again, community health improvement plans involve many, many actors, that there is a growing, sizable, demanding accountability from those of us in the religious community, to our flocks, those of us who get money from the funders, from our communities broadly. Resources are scarce. So it makes more sense that all of those actors coming together. So using Adelphi or some other consensus-building methodology makes a lot of sense from a public health perspective. So how did it work? What I'm not going to talk to you about is a lot of detail on how we went out and identified people to participate. But we went broad brush. We went to NRHA, National Rural Health Association, the National Organization of Rural State Rural Offices, the Rural Assembly, which is more than just health, lots and lots of different groups, asked them to get word out virtually to alert them to a webinar we were going to have. We had a webinar talking about rural healthy people and what this Delphi was going to do to solicit people to kind of register for us. So we didn't have a sense of who we were going after, except we wanted to try and get folks representing four buckets: a provider bucket, an academic bucket, a policy bucket, and a community bucket. We wanted to see how there would be some kind of consensus within each bucket, and, big question, rural stakeholders, would there be any consensus on what is important across buckets? So we started out by having round one was there's a little mini training that tells you when you go online what this is about, what it looks like, how you respond, and how things are going to go. And then there were 26 leading health indicator objectives from among the thousands. We let the federal government do the heavy lifting. They said, these are your leading health indicators, and these are the objectives we're going to measure. So our question was, okay, for rural, is there any kind of consensus among stakeholders as to which of any of these would be important to all of us? So round two, again, we had a mini tutorial again, which we did online, that basically showed people, this is a histogram, and this is what it means, which is basically, it's a frequency. How many of you answered the question, how important is this objective for rural on a Likert scale from 0 to 6? 0 meaning, who gives a hell, you know? And 5 meaning, this is critically, critically important. And then they showed you the results from round one. And you had the chance, going back through all of those questions and objectives, to hold fast, change, or move on. So there were 3 rounds for us. It can be 3 to 5. Summary, 75 people completed registration, 64 completed, overall 85% response rate across the board. But you can see, other than academics, we had really good responses. The problem for academics was firewalls. If you're dealing with emails with people, firewalls. So really talk to folks in advance and determine where those problems are going to be. 2 objectives cut across everyone with a score of 4 or 5. So this is the high end. This is even more stringent than I said. Important would have been 3, 4, or 5. Those 2 were increase the proportion of persons with medical insurance. Sounds very much like the Affordable Care Act. And the percentage of children aged 19 to 35 months getting vaccines. So there were a couple of situations where 2 of the panels agreed on a couple of other things. So here's the Institute for Rural Public Health Institute. They had a conference, and I wanted to kind of illustrate Delphi with them as a group of experts. So they've done a lot of work in nutrition and weight, so we took that topic area and all of the objectives within there, and we sent them an email link and said, what's most important to you? Well, of all the people who ended up coming, only 18 responded, but it's still good enough. This is the measure of a histogram that you might see. And you can see the one on the left, increased proportion of schools, there's some distribution, there's some variance across there. If you went with the second round, people might change. And you can provide on your survey a reason why they changed. If you look at the next one, very little variance, just one, not outlier, but one whose impression or opinion was a little bit different. Here, again, increased the proportion of work sites offering nutrition, a lot of variance. But number 8, increase the proportion of adults who are at healthy weight, slam dunk. That's one of the things you're looking for. Everyone agrees this one is important. So what are the challenges associated with the Delphi itself? It's identifying those folks. There's a subjective process. You can pick and choose who serve on your expert panels. Or you can just go broad brush, or you can use your affiliate meeting to serve as a panel of experts and have people identify so that maybe you can do some analysis inside. The representativeness of the panel, if what you want is a panel that's representative of the different parts of your state or racial ethnic diversity, you might have to be a little bit heavier in pulling some of those folks in. And there is an impact of anonymity on accountability and on response rate, because if people don't know that you responded or how you responded, they just might not respond, or it brings out the curmudgeon in all of us. Those associated with computer-mediated Delphi, the firewalls I already mentioned. But the other thing is really to get email addresses that people check daily. Daily. All right, final thoughts. Rural Healthy People is about improving the health of rural Americans across the country. But to succeed, we've got to move beyond identifying what our problems are to getting some consensus around what are we going to work on together so that we can make a difference. Because if we're going off in 1,000 different directions, we're not going to see a lot of change in any of those. And for that reason, I regard the Delphi as a public health tool. And I can take a couple of questions. Otherwise, we have identifying information. You can always reach me through Jim or Nancy or Hope. And thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you.